Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co. Hello, everyone. I know you've been waiting for a very long time to be involved with all of the amazing things that we're doing at Rare Drop, and now is the time. We are introducing the Rare Drop Patreon, so if you've ever wanted to get involved with experimental content or being at any of our podcasts early to listen in, well, all of that is available in the new Rare Drop Patreon. Check it out.
Hey, everybody, Kevin here. Quick disclaimer for this episode. We did say in the episode that Kevin Feige is not working on anything Star Wars. He's still slated to be a producer on one film, but he's not joining Star Wars in any large way, which is what more we were trying to get at in the episode. But he is slated to be a producer on the film, and I will correct myself that the writer from Rick and Morty has been hired to be a part of that. So that's the full disclaimer. Enjoy the rest of the episode, and thank you for supporting Star Wars and Scotch. Hey, everybody, Kevin here. Quick disclaimer for this episode. We did say in the episode that Kevin Feige is not working on anything Star Wars. He's still slated to be a producer on one film, but he's not joining Star Wars in any large way, which is what more we were trying to get at in the episode. But he is slated to be a producer on the film, and I will correct myself that the writer from Rick and Morty will. We're gonna get it started.
Punch it, Kevin.
One day there will be this like land inside a spaceship. No, we can't do that. That's copywritten.
I can do it with my mouth.
Can you?
I hope so.
I don't know, dude. DMCAs are wild.
It's just like Bob Iger pops out of the bottom right-hand corner of the screen and does the from Jurassic Park.
Sorry, Kevin. You know what's also crazy, Kevin?
What?
KingsGhostCoffee.com. That's where you can get all your freshly roasted to order coffee. So just head on over to KingsGhostCoffee.com. That's right. Star Wars and Scotch is brought to you by King's Ghost Coffee.
It's crazy. Was I supposed to do that? You said it was crazy, so I was just trying to run with that.
Nice, Kevin. Good job.
I bet Pete and Wayne are super happy.
They're never happy.
Cool. We got some stuff to talk about tonight. There will be no spoilers about the High Republic. Tim and I haven't finished the books because we don't have time, but we're pretty deep into it. We're both, I think, at the beginning of part two.
I'm in part two.
So we're pretty much on track. We have decided to not fragment the episodes of the book club about the book and just do one singular book per episode because I don't feel like there's enough meat on the bone to sustain episodes. So we're going to just do it as one singular.
But can I at least say if I like it or not?
Well, we do no spoiler reviews of where we're at so far. Chat, you can chime in. The questions command is up everywhere, so you can drop your questions in. But anything that's going to give a spoiler to anyone or characters or whatever, we're not going to talk about it. And, you know, we will exercise mod privileges if you try and ruin it for somebody else.
Yeah, so don't be that person.
Yeah, just don't be a piece of shit, and we'll get along just great.
Easy peasy.
But go ahead, Tim. What's your non-spoiler review of The High Republic?
Dark.
That's it.
That
darkness says it's dark.
It is dark, Kevin. It kicks off, and I'm just like, oh, this is not a normal Star Wars story, and I like it. I've been saying that on stream. It's a dark Star Wars story, and I'm here for this. I really like where they're going.
Nihil.
They're cool.
Mark Thompson said.
Bit scary. and I'm excited to learn more.
Yes, so far I'm enjoying the new characters. They're very different from any other Jedi we've ever encountered before. They're all very different, too. You can already see the different ways each of their personality operates. I am really loving the way each of them views the Force.
Yes.
And the book has been super descriptive of that. So
yes,
enjoy that part of it, because it's ways that we've never seen the Force viewed before. And I think that they're doing a very good job. At least Charles Soule is doing a very good job of bringing that to life so far. It's weird because some of the way the characters I've seen the concept art, and then, you know, Mark Thompson does the voice on the audiobook, and I'm listening, and I'm like, that's not how I imagine that voice, but he's got more insight than I do there. So, okay. So it's been interesting so far. The beginning of the book, they kind of just drop you into the first problem.
Yeah.
With no regard. And you're like, figure it out. Figure
it
out.
It definitely took me a little bit of time to figure out what was happening.
Figured out.
I like the setting. I like how pure everything is. Like, you know, and they said this about the High Republic, is that we're not going to start off in this galactic conflict.
They've gone out of their way to showcase that there is no conflict in the galaxy, and everyone's just hunky-dory living their lives.
Well, and that was before even the books, like when they were doing like the overviews of like what to expect of the High Republic and everything. Like, they really, really like just like hit that home that this is going to be a time where like everyone's at peace and everyone's happy and there's nothing wrong in the galaxy. And it's so weird for a Star Wars story to just not be
war has engulfed the universe.
You're just like, okay,
in a time of war.
Yeah, it's like, oh, all right, everyone's shooting each other. And he's like, nah, everyone's cool. You know, like there's a couple like Star Wars like nods, you know, the things you're like, oh, neat, cool. That's where that's from. But outside of that, like, this is a, like, very much so like its own story. It's, the setting is very, very different. The vibes are different. Like, yeah, it's just like, it's a really cool period. I'm here for it.
So I'm trying to think how much I can say without giving anything away. Just the way the Jedi conduct themselves, the way they go around doing things, is way different than...
It's very different from Clone Wars Jedi.
Yeah, way different. It's a different
very,
feel.
Very, very different.
They're
looked at differently, too.
Right. They seem to even serve a different purpose. So I think this is really... This series is going to bridge the gap to Yoda or Obi-Wan saying in Episode 4, you know, the Jedi used to be defenders of peace and justice in the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, they're part of the military in the prequel series, and they are not that in the High Republic at all. The one action sequence that I've read even alluded to the fact that they had absolutely no choice but to engage in combat.
Oh, I know you're talking about.
Yeah. I'm being very, very aloof.
Yes. Yeah, it took me a second. Yeah, I know you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, the one action sequence they went out of their way to make sure.
They describe their light. Well, the way that they like even like describe their lightsabers is like, you know, like in like normal Star Wars, like in Clone Wars, Star Wars, the Jedi just whipped their lightsabers out and just cut everything down, and like everything died, right? Mm-hmm. And just like you expected that.
Mm-mm.
Like, they were definitely like, they want you to understand, like, when the Jedi pulled out their lightsaber, like, holy shit.
It was a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, so, and that's different. It's weird. And it's cool. I like it.
Yeah. It's a very different feel. For you Old Republic fans, it's the first time, I don't want to say the first time, but it's an interesting take on battle meditation is in this already. Which I'm sure everyone's seen articles on, and I'm not going to go into the details. We'll do that when we finally finish the book. But that was an interesting take on battle meditation that was never introduced, but it's an old Force power brought back in a new way. So, the order in which you read the comics and the novel and the shorter younger demo books too, apparently are super important, because I had someone contacting me saying they read the comic and it ruined something from the novel for them. So make sure you read it in order. I asked in Discord in the High Republic chat if anyone had posted something that had the official order. I'll actually look now because I have not. Oh, I can't because Tim's on Discord. So if they grabbed something and you guys want to drop it in chat, great. You can join the Discord as well. I think Jiro's getting a command for that set up right now. And hop in that High Republic chat and make sure you do everything in order. There you go. Werewood just posted it. So some of the stuff released on the same day, Misfire, so we were questionable on some of it. Tim and I are going to try and cover the ancillary content, too. It really depends how quickly we finish the book. So we're working
on it. Kids book, I definitely had, that's low on my priority list.
If it ties into the story well, though, which people are saying, I kind of want to jump into it. Plus,
I want to finish the book first. Yeah.
Oh, no. 100. Well, you're supposed to finish Light of the Jedi before you start anything else. Light of the Jedi happens first. Then it's A Test of Courage, which is the younger book. And then the High Republic comic is number one, is the next in the series.
Okay.
So that's kind of where we're at. I don't want to go too deep into it. I think I'm going to try and snag some guests to talk about High Republic stuff over the next few weeks. After Tim and I finish the books and get everyone's feel, there's some people that I would love for them to bring their take here. So
very much so.
I don't want to go too much into it because a lot of people in chat are still reading it. Some people haven't even started it. Tim and I aren't finished. I know some of you have finished and you're dying to talk about it, but we want to make sure that the whole class can participate rather than you speed readers, listeners, or people that have infinite amounts of time.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a viewer last week. It was probably like on Thursday or Friday. And they're like, I'm at chapter 30 already. I'm like, oh, wait.
How?
Yeah.
So, cool. Because it's not like it's a movie where you can just sit and do it 3 hours. It is literally a 15-hour audiobook. So
yep.
Need to carve out some time. And I have about 8 hours, 8.5 hours or something left. Cool. So that's where we stand. If you got questions about stuff not directly related to spoilers, but is about High Republic, you can use that questions command or the pin comment on Facebook. Or if you're watching somewhere else, go to those two places and figure that out. Star Wars news was pretty light this week, but there are some interesting topics to talk about. The Kevin Feige Star Wars rumors were debunked.
Oh.
By Kevin Feige. So,
right.
This comes from Collider. Over the past few years, one of the things I kept hearing from people in Hollywood was that Kevin Feige might be involved in the Star Wars universe. It was the one rumor that would not go away. 100% true. No one would shut up about it. Heard everything from Kevin Feige's now running Star Wars. Heard that one too. To how he was working hand in hand with Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni. Heard that one too. And I get it. Well, let me fast forward to the part. Oh, his response was not at all when asked. He was then doing press for WandaVision, and someone asked him point blank if he was involved in Star Wars, and he said not at all.
Interesting.
So I'm okay with that, because I think at this point you want Kevin Feige completely focused on Marvel.
Yes.
Marvel is
very
doing
much so, yes.
So much right now, and Star Wars is doing so much, and I don't think having people that straddle that line into both is smart.
Yep.
So what's your two cents on that, Tim?
I mean, I can understand why people are frustrated with how the cinematic universe went for Star Wars. So to see him get involved with Star Wars is everyone wants Star Wars to do well, and they want to take it to that next level, to that Marvel level, right? Marvel is kind of the epitome of really well fleshed out cinematic universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have him leading the charge or driving the ship, I totally understand why people would want that. But at the same time, Marvel has so much going on, and to spread him in between Star Wars and Marvel, holy crap, dude, there's no way. Cause Star Wars, Like that's a huge undertaking. Like there's just no way. And I think the people who are driving the ship right now for Star Wars, at least in the show side, I mean, like between like the stuff that we've seen with the Mandalorian already, phenomenal. I would assume like that bar is set. Like if you can't, like if any of those other shows, like the Cassian Andor show or Ahsoka, or like any of those like shows can't hit that level, then they're a failed show. So like I feel like they all understand like what's at risk there. But to take him away from Marvel and push him over to Star Wars, yeah, like that, I never thought that was real. Like that's why like this to me is like no big surprise at all.
Yeah, again, it seemed like a lot of big names were being thrown around. Taika Waititi obviously is the one we know is true because Disney has said it and Taika has said it. Mm-hmm. So elaborating on something chat said, Michael Waldron, who's one of the producers on Rick and Morty, was confirmed 3 days ago by Rotten Tomatoes to be one of the writers on Kevin Feige's Star Wars movie. But then as of 3 hours before Tim and I went live, Kevin Feige himself said, no, that's not happening. So
yeah,
we're going to go with the latest news. We're going to go with the news straight from the man himself. He has no reason to hide it, honestly. It wouldn't make sense. So I just think he's very focused on Marvel right now. And if you're a fan of both, I would appreciate that. I wouldn't be upset about it.
Yeah, no, I think I feel better about Star Wars, like the cinematic stuff after Mandalorian, you know, like episode 9, it was definitely a lot of like, that was good, but man, it could have been better. But after seeing like how they did like Mandalorian, I think they've got it figured out. So I really feel like, and I feel like as we go forward in these new stories, like now that we're no longer tethered to the Skywalker saga, that story's done. Like they've got so much more leeway now. Like they can play with more stuff. They can do more things. Make stories more interesting.
Oh, they've already proved that with the prospective stuff on the table. That the stories coming will be more interesting than they've ever been because they're exploring. The most popular thing in Star Wars at this very moment has nothing to do with the Force besides Grogu.
No.
But
not at all.
And especially next season is really going to have nothing to do with the Force. So
yeah.
Are they going to release more gallery episodes? No, to our knowledge, that was it. That's all we get.
That
this
was it. We talked about it last episode.
COVID is probably the reason that's all you got.
That, and I feel like a lot of the episodes prior were all about like you understanding the people, the technology, and like all this stuff. Like everyone, if you've watched all the other gallery episodes, you know a lot about the behind the scenes stuff now. So I feel like for them, they don't have to like reintroduce all that stuff. They talked about like the technical hurdles, like all these little things, but at the same time, they were able to comprise it into a much smaller episode because a lot of people understand.
Yeah. The only biggest piece of news that released this week, and this will be Tim and I diving in for a while, and I'm sure you'll have questions on it, so we'll pull them from chat, was that today.
Yep.
Lucasfilm announced Lucasfilm Games.
Yeah, so what was the other Lucasfilm Games? Was it LucasArts Games?
I think it was just LucasArts.
Because this was supposed to be like the umbrella for all video games, I thought, that were under this, like, were Star Wars games.
It was LucasArts, but LucasArts was gone in 2013.
No. It was like last year. There was another like it was either Star Wars games or it was Lucasfilm. It was at LucasArts games.
That was proved false. We talked about it on.
Did we say that?
Spoiler cast, and it was proved to be false. It was not
interesting. Well, that's funny though because then this pops up.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason why I feel like this all sounds familiar. That's why I was so surprised that this was getting any attention because I thought we already talked about this.
So, Lucasfilm Games is very interesting. Obviously, Disney announced it, and it was confirmed today. And it had video clips from all of the Star Wars games we know
that we've seen so far. Right.
But this is very weird because EA signed an agreement last year or the year before for 10 more years of Star Wars exclusivity.
Did they get an extension on the first contract?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Everyone was super pissed.
I didn't know that.
It was supposed to run through
2023.
No, it's they re-signed for like 5 more years or something.
Right.
Like
so right. So originally it was a contract that was signed in 2013.
Yeah, because we were all freaking signed. Out about that expiring.
And then 2013, and then it was supposed to go for 10 years, so 2023. So the original contract.
Right, and then it went to like 2028 or something like that.
So now if they got a 5-year extension, yeah, 2028. This is weird, though.
Well, this screams to me that the deal is broken, dead, altered. I don't know where you'd want to go with that.
So does this make Lucasfilm... Does this make them a publisher?
That's the vibe I'm getting, is that they're more of a publisher with this, and they're going to be, you know, the ones controlling the ways and the means for the idea sessions, the
yeah.
content that's coming out, the flow of all of it, and they're going to be using, in
that's
my opinion, EA Studios will probably still get the brunt of the work, but I have a feeling there's more to this, and I'm going to go back to Xbox's tweet today answering the Lucasfilm Games announcement where they said we're picking up something on our radar and tweeted a hype gif for Star Wars.
Interesting.
Xbox was new in the news yesterday because apparently Xbox has or Microsoft has contacted every single AAA studio in the business asking them about acquisition and Game Pass. Every single AAA studio.
So Microsoft just called up everybody and was
everybody,
like, hey,
according to
hey,
this
you
report.
Want some money?
Everybody.
Is that what is but is like it's so they literally just called them up and said, do you want to be under the Microsoft umbrella? Like
it was two pronged. It was the Microsoft umbrella and it was also Game Pass opportunities.
That's so wild, dude.
AAA developer, not manufacturers, Darkwing.
Okay, so let's roll this back. So Lucasfilm Games is going to be so we think, I assume, is going to be its own publishing house. So
yep.
So that means it takes Star Wars games away from companies like Electronic Arts, from Ubisoft, from 2K.
Does it take it away
Activision.
Or does it add to the web?
Well, no. So here's my thing, is that so then Lucas is doing essentially what Disney did with all Marvel products that were outside, like on Netflix or, you know, was anywhere else, right? They killed it all off, cleaved it all, brought it all back in, and then started to web it out.
Right.
So I wonder if Lucasfilm Games will be the publisher, and then I wonder if they will then go out and utilize developers that are also owned by... So here's my thing, is that I think they'll end up pulling the exclusive like now seeing this makes me feel like there is some uncertainty with the exclusivity of EA.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if they'll still work with that with Respawn. Like they have to. Like we have Jedi Fallen Order. They agree. They said Respawn said Jedi Fallen Order will be a trilogy. So
and
be
they're
a
hiring.
Two,
they
a
were
two
hiring
and a three.
Two. So
I wonder. Does Lucasfilm Games then go to publishers and start working with their developers? And like that's the thing, is like, so then is Lucasfilm Games going to work with Respawn, or will it be a Lucasfilm and EA deal? Lucasfilm Games and EA collaboration with Respawn.
I just the Xbox comment without any sign of anything PlayStation. Yeah, could it be something that's Xbox exclusive or Xbox first? Maybe.
Sure.
But it's
yeah.
just weird, I mean, that Xbox...
Microsoft needs some wins, dude. They need huge wins right now. They are shit in the bed.
It's just weird that they're going around buying everything up. I mean, Game Pass is a roaring success with the...
Yeah, Xbox. Of course. 100%.
I have never opened up my Xbox and seen that many games available to me at the click of a button for a singular fee. It is actually insane, and there is probably 15 games on there that I haven't played that I would love to go through at some point. So
I'm very curious. Lucasfilm Games, it, like, that screams publisher to me. It screams that this is where all your Star Wars games are going to be coming from.
I agree with you 100%.
So does Lucasfilm Games buy the rights from EA Like, they go back and they repurchase them, but they still honor the deals they already have with, like, Respawn and this, what else are they doing with EA? A couple other things. But anyways, so, like, and then going forward, is it going to be just like how it is on Disney Plus, where everything's going to be a Lucasfilm Games exclusive for Star Wars? Like, no one else is going to touch it. No EA, no Ubisoft, no 2K. It's just going to be purely from them. Which is a huge undertaking. Like, that's a massive undertaking to become your own publisher. I mean, look at, like, our friends over at Bungie. Like, they did it, and, like, that was a huge deal for them with Destiny. So, I'm just, like, this is a weird time. Like, it would, like, this is the type of announcement I would have assumed would show up at the end of the end of the EA contract.
So, another thing. So remember the rumor last year, the year before, that they were revamping the Knights of the Old Republic?
Yes.
Which would still technically fall under EA's jurisdiction if it went with the original publisher. So keep that in mind as we go down this trail. Do you remember last week then where we talked about exploring eras in canon and you didn't think they were going to touch Old Republic anytime soon and stick with High Republic? What if the intention is... So Lucas Games or whatever, think of it this way. You know how Marvel has been diving into new timelines in video games?
Yes.
What if they're going to do that with Star Wars? We already know there's an alternate timeline Star Wars game coming out with some female hero.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So what if...
But it was never confirmed who was working on that.
No, it wasn't. But okay, so I won't say we know. It's rumored. And then what if they are, in fact, working on Knights of the Old Republic? And again, this is a way to house Old Republic across multiple studios, and it comes back to life in the gaming world, and maybe we don't see it on the screen, or I would say books would come, but maybe 2-3 years down the road. But what if it's coming to life in the gaming world, and that's like where the Old Republic is going to live? Because think who wants the Old Republic back?
Yeah, it's all gamers.
Gamers.
Yeah.
You know, we have three games in the Old Republic.
Yeah. Yeah. No one who's like a fan of like, yeah, I don't think like your casual Star Wars fan could give a flying crap about Knights of the Old Republic.
So,
but the people who played it 20 years ago most definitely do.
Hi, I'm right here. So I was thinking about that when I was looking at this before the show, that maybe the Old Republic launch before its movies, before its books, before its everything. What if it comes back in video game form across multiple video games? And that's how they established the lore there. We're doing the High Republic establishment in this, and obviously the current era, which, by the way, they changed all of the names of the eras after the High Republic launched.
Really?
Yeah, I'll pull them up. But what if, you know, and then the Skywalker era, as I'll call it, even though that's not what it's called. What if that, you know, we're just expanding on that with animated and comics and things like that. Because you have to think, if you're Kathleen Kennedy, regardless of whether you hate her or not, the job of curating all of this, keeping as many people interested in all of it as you possibly can across multiple levels. And think, we're not all like the people here. We're fanatics. If you're listening to this in the future, you're really into Star Wars. So no matter what they throw out, the consumption of that content will be consumed by everyone here. Whether we like it or not, we will consume it. We will pay for it. We will be a part of it. It's the general casual Star Wars fan, the public, people that are fans of the original trilogy, people that, you know, just go to the movies and things of that nature. That's who they need to try and keep interested and pull in and do that. So I'm wondering if aiming the beam of the Old Republic at the gamers who at its core were the ones that made it come to life and made it this big part of the Legends lore. Is the play, and that's part of the plan with having Lucasfilm Games be a publishing house, and then you can build that world before you bring it to the screen. Honestly, almost rebuild the world before you bring it to the screen, because it did exist fully in video games previously, and then it was books. I have a few of the Old Republic books right there.
That's an interesting thought of just using the game world as a playground to test what sticks.
Right.
And then create your stories around that.
And you know Revan's your million-dollar... idea when it comes to games. You know, we'd all shit our pants for a new Knights of the Old Republic done a la Final Fantasy VII remake.
Yeah, 100%.
Or Resident Evil. And then Disney can tell the story that they want so they can lay the groundwork for everything. But what if it's not the movies? What if it's not the books? What if they're going to go back to the well, which what it originally was, and tell the story again in a game?
Yeah.
What if that's the play here? And that is where we get the Old Republic.
Right.
Because, again, it doesn't make sense for them to wait 10 years or 5 years to bring it forth. You're going to lose people's interest. And you're right. Like, why are they going to bring us like all these new eras? It might be too choppy.
Right.
So the interesting thing is the only medium that we haven't discussed them
is video games.
Is video games, which is weird for us.
That's really, it is super weird for us, but that's interesting. Yeah, I don't know, dude. Like this, this whole Lucasfilm games play is very interesting to me. I don't know what it means for my friends over at EA because I have a lot of friends that are on the different development teams that are like making Star Wars games. So I don't know, or have worked on Star Wars games in the past. And like, it kind of sucks because like EA kind of like shit the bed when it came to like some of the Star Wars titles. Other Star Wars titles were awesome. You know, Battlefront 2 took the first Battlefront, I think, was, you know, wasn't all that great. The second one, I think they definitely, it was always, I don't want to say that. I feel like the Star Wars Battlefront game was always like set to fail because everybody wanted the old Star Wars Battlefront. They didn't want to try something new. Like everyone like had the rose colored glasses on when it came to Battlefront. And they all just assumed like that's what it was going to be. Like they didn't let DICE like try to create their own style of what Star Wars Battlefront like could have been. But I think after Battlefront 2 and after the big overhaul, and when the team was allowed to, when they gave the team the reins and they're like, no, okay, like we shouldn't allow executives to decide like how the game should play. We should let the devs and the like the big Star Wars fans like tell us like how the game should be made. Then the game was awesome. Then it was great. Like the last big patch was amazing. Like game was super fun to play. And like, it's unfortunate. Like that's not the state that the game was in when it launched. Like I remember that when we were in, I don't know if legally I'm even allowed to say it. We were in meetings in like early, like before the alpha came out for Star Wars Battlefront 2. I was in Stockholm and they were showing their concepts for the droid destroyers. And like how those like they were like the like there were like, oh, we're working on these and like we're just trying to figure out how to make them to go from like spinning to like actually like upright. And it took them like 2 years to get that in there because like they were told that they couldn't do it. Like they had it built. It just like it's unfortunate. Like it's always unfortunate when people like when stockholders and like games are held to a like at a release date when like they need more time to be worked on. So
Battlefront 2, to me, just when it started, I was so disappointed. But by the time it ended, I was sad it ended. Because I mean, you and me getting down on some of those updates was some of my favorite.
It was super fun.
Times.
Yeah.
And it was one of those games where you didn't care if you died and you were just back in it immediately. I don't know. That game's just.
It was just a Star Wars fan playground. That's all it was. And that's what it was meant to be.
One note before I move on to this other point. In gaming, but the Rogue Squadron movie, what's her name that's directing it? Patty.
I'm terrible with names, you know this.
I'm terrible too. Rogue Squadron movie, what's her name? Patty Jenkins. So Patty Jenkins did Wonder Woman 84. And apparently,
well, I heard that was a nightmare.
Disney execs now are going to be a bit more hands on with the Rogue Squadron movie than they intended to be. Because of the disaster that Wonder Woman 84 was. I haven't seen it,
but I heard nothing but terrible things about it.
I saw like three people who thought it was good. Everyone else that I heard really didn't like it. So I'm not coming
to that. That's interesting. Just real quick, Battlefront 2 is free on Epic Game Store.
Yes. Yeah, I got a tweet about that today.
That's cool.
So I'm looking at all of the games that have come out over the last two decades for Star Wars. Obviously there's a lot here. Oh my God, I forgot about that original Obi-Wan game for Star Wars on the original Xbox. Do you remember that?
No.
I just see the box art and I'm getting flashbacks from playing it.
I mean, like you had Knights of the Republic, Knights of the Republic 2. The Commando game.
So, Republic Commando, I still think remaking it as a Bad Batch game.
Republic Commando was so good.
Yeah, I mean, if they're gonna,
it was Rainbow Six. It was literally Rainbow Six meets Star Wars.
Right. So I think they could bring it back as a Bad Batch game because that would give you the ability to have some like way more superpowers, if you will, than you did as the commandos in the game. Giving each character its own individuality out of the five. Force Unleashed is another one that everybody wants to come back because they want Starkiller to come back as canon. Sam Witwer probably more than any of us wants Force Unleashed to come back because he is Starkiller. So that could be another one. Again, they don't have to make all these new Star Wars games. They can literally go back into the vault and remake old ones for days, and I don't think anybody would care. Like new Jedi Knight games, new Rogue Squadron. Well, I don't think they would do Rogue Squadron again because they have whatchamacallit that we just played. What was the last Star Wars game?
Rogue Squadron?
No.
Squadrons. What was the last Star Wars game that
Squadrons.
I played?
Squadrons, not Rogue Squadrons. Squadrons.
Yeah. It's the same thing, Kevin.
Not really, because you played as the Empire too.
True.
But there's games like Shadow of the Empire. Rogue Leader was another one from back in the day. There's just all of these games that you can go back and remake.
Jedi Academy. Oh, that was so much fun.
Yeah.
Oh, Jedi Academy was so good.
I'm looking at the list right now, and I'm just like, I'd play a new version of that. I'd play a new version of that. I'd play a new version of that.
Well, Star Wars 1313 and Amy Hennig's Star Wars games are never going to see the light of day, unfortunately. I already know what happened to Amy Hennig's games, so that I know one of the guys who worked on that game. That game is on backup discs and is in someone's garage. You aren't going to see that game ever.
I've been trying to get into said garage for quite some time, but Tim won't spill the beans on it.
Sorry, I know whose garage it's in. You're not getting in there. Sorry.
That's one of those things.
Star Forces is really good too.
When Rare Drop has some, you know, like capital to kill, I would love to get an arcade machine, buy it from that person, and put it in the office and be like, "You want to play one level of 1313? You can come to the office and do it." It's in Tim's garage.
It's in my garage, dude.
Tim took me into his garage and he was like, "Do you want to see something?" And all of a sudden,
Kevin.
Tim, did you turn that music on?
Yes, Kevin. Man, I want to turn my garage into a Sith Lair. Shit. I don't think Amy's going to be down for that.
When you retire from streaming, you can turn into a Sith Lair. The studio garage concept, because we're both in our garage right now. I believe at this point they no longer have access to the garage, Tim. So even when we're done streaming, we can do whatever we want in this room, no?
True. So you can just become a Sith Lair.
You could turn it into one of Palpatine's vaults from Battlefront.
Oh, it's so good, dude.
I'm just looking at this list and I'm like, man, I'd play a new version of that. I'd play a new version of that. I'd play a new version of that. One thing.
Yeah,
they
but
do,
at the same time, like I don't want like rehash. Okay, so like
I this do.
No, okay. Yeah, I know you do because you live in the expanding universe world and you want it all back in canon.
No, I want new versions of it. But I want characters. Yeah. I want Kyle Katarn. I want Starkiller.
Yeah, I want.
I want Revan.
Here's the problem though, is that you're gonna end up with the same issue that Battlefront ran up against, is that people go in with the expectation that this game is going to be exactly what that game was, and then they go and play it, they're like, well, this isn't exactly what I played before, so I don't like it. And I think it's better off to have games like Jedi Fallen Order that are new and fresh and are a completely different story that we've never heard before, but are still familiar enough where we feel connected with the characters and the world around it. Those are the types of Star Wars games that I think they are going to succeed. Because it's not like Jedi Fallen Order didn't do anything new. It was like it's mechanics we've seen before in a game. Like it felt familiar to pick up the controller, but the storytelling was phenomenal and the settings were all fun. And at the same, we knew where they were, but they were unique. Like being on Ilum, like we knew where we were, but we'd never seen it in that light before. You know, we knew that Jedi Temple or the opening to the cave to get your Kyber crystal. We've seen that. We saw that in Clone Wars. We'd been there. We've walked through those halls. But at the same time, it was done in a different way that we've never seen it done before. So I think those types of games are going to be the ones that we'll see going forward. I don't think we're going to see rehashes of old games, bringing them back so we can play them again as a 30 or 40 year old.
Do you think they would take old characters and put them in new games?
Sure. I think you can do that. I think you can tell a brand new story with a character from an older game, as long as you're not saying like, this is Dark Forces 5. Like, you know, like it's like, as long as it's a new game or like that character from another game comes in and is like, is a part of it, then yes. But I feel like, again, like if you were to do Republic Commandos 2, like people are going to expect that it plays exactly the same way it did when they played it when they were 10 on the Xbox.
That's why I said rebranding it as Bad Batch would be.
I understand. I'm just saying, like, I really feel like for them, the best way to go forward is just to do like fun and new and exciting things. Like, I don't think a Star Wars shooter is going to be what like Star Wars like fans want now. As much as I want that, I don't think that's what like your normal everyday like Star Wars fan is going to want. It worked in that time because like Star Wars, Clone Wars was so hot. Like everything was Clone Wars. It was like everything was going on. There were shows, there was games, there was merch, there was everything had Clone Wars in it. Like that was a big deal. So I feel like that's why we saw a lot of that stuff around that time. Even like with Battlefront or Republic Commandos. So yeah, I think there's gonna be I think Star Wars games are gonna be more story driven. They're gonna be more like Jedi Fallen Order. I think those are the styles of games that we're going to be seeing more and more of. Like just like they do in comics and in audiobooks or in books and in like the way that they've been telling Star Wars stories, I think they're going to use the video game medium to continue telling those really, really cool Star Wars stories and like in a really fun and exciting way. So I think it's going to be more of like, we're not going to see like the sandbox PvP kind of Star Wars games anymore. I think it's all going to be these continuous storytelling worlds that we'll get.
So
more RPG. Yeah.
I think if they're going to remake anything, it would be Knights. That seems like the only game that.
Right. And again, I don't think it's going to be a one-to-one to
no,
Knights of the Republic.
Be a new story.
I think it is going to be a Star Wars story told in the Knights of the Republic setting.
Well, the biggest hook about that game, everyone knows the end. So you'd have to find a new way to tell the story, make it interesting, have twists. But still stay true to the fact that, you know, you play as Revan. So,
right.
Sorry for the 20-year-old spoiler if you've never played it. 21-year-old spoiler now.
Yeah, but again, like, even then, like, I wonder if that, like, that's a story that they would tell. Would they tell the story of Darth Revan again? Or would it be another story in the Old Republic that you do know of Revan? Or like, you know, or of Malak, or any of the other characters that are in there.
It depends how Disney wants to bring Revan back to life. He's
exactly.
canon. We know that right. much, but
we
don't
know
who he is, what he did, how he
right.
existed. We don't even know. Honestly, we don't even know when he existed in Disney's world. Think about
True.
It. We don't know when. All that we know is that his lightsaber is part of the Black Series.
Yep.
His two robes, the dark robes and the light robes, are part of the Black Toy Series, the Black Series
yep.
toys, and that he is one of the legions of on Exegol is named after him.
Yep.
That's all we know from a canon
yep.
perspective. That is literally it. We don't know anything
yep.
else. So looking at that, I think Knights could get remade. I think Tim's right. I think they realize that the PvP sandbox is not a Star Wars thing, and that people want Star Wars stories where they get to be whoever and go out
yep.
and do things in world building. I do think at some point it will lead to a new, I don't want to say MMORPG, that's not the word I'm looking for, but a new multi-user open environment for people to experience in the universe. I don't know what that looks like because who knows what the genres will look like in 5 to 10 years.
Sure.
But people are dying for a Star Wars game where they can connect with other people and interact and, you know, be together like they do in SWTOR. But SWTOR, someone asked this earlier and I'll answer the question, is the only piece of non-canon material that is still supported by Disney.
Right.
It is
Which
the is only
weird.
Thing that has been retweeted. It is the only thing that has been marketed. It is the only non-canon piece that
it gets, well, it gets, I think it gets treated as its own little world. Like it's a bubble. Nothing goes in or out.
I think you could just like consider it an alternate timeline, or they just say like this happened in the Legends.
They need to be better if they're going to start using like multi-dimensional like storytelling. Then they need to be more like a Star. Like hopefully that means the next 5 years Star Wars is going to be flushing that out, because we see it in Rebels, and it still to me is one of the most confusing things ever as to how all of a sudden this thing just happened with Ahsoka and Ezra. It's just, it's confusing because it's just, it hasn't been told, like it hasn't been explained. It's been shown, but there isn't enough information as to like, how does this work outside of it just being space magic? That's it. And so like, I hope that if we are really going to start going down the road of like, oh yeah, this just happens in an alternate timeline, then they really, really, really need to explain how that all like works. Because like they explain it in Doctor Strange. You understand how it works in Marvel storytelling. They've done a really good job of talking about the multiverse and like how like other things happen in different ways. And they did a really good job of fleshing that out at the end of Phase 4 with the Last Avengers. And so like I understand how that all works in that world. How does it work in Star Wars?
So for SWTOR specifically, I think it's just a way to explain away them keeping the game. So they
right,
can still
exactly.
Because it's still a moneymaker.
Exactly.
No, I agree with you. 100%.
But like that's the whole thing is like, how can you have this thing here and this thing up here, and there's no explanation as to why are these two things allowed to exist, like coexist within the same universe? That doesn't make sense. So like hopefully again we will see them start to explain it more, because like they touched on it. We got a taste of what a multi like what time alteration would look like. Like if you were to like it, because Ezra making this action of pulling Ahsoka out and not letting her die, that completely changed everything. Which then splintered off and it allows us to have the Ahsoka show. Right?
Right.
And so it's just like, again, how did it happen? How did we get really to this thing? Like, where does it come from? And why are some people allowed to interact with it and others can't? Who's done it before? You know, like this can't be the only thing. Again, like having someone who has gone and altered the timeline could then explain, you know, why Knights of the Republic, you know, like why that game is existence, why it's allowed, and then why you can have another Knights of the Republic up here that is kind of different. You know, it's canon, you know? So that's my hopes.
People are asking too, like, oh, they'll make a new MMO, and they won't. MMOs are the most expensive thing you can make right now in comparison to other genres, which is why the genre has died off. Also the time investment for an MMO from a player perspective, it's just not there anymore, which is why you see more crowdfunded MMOs than you do AAA devs creating new ones or supporting them. WoW is WoW, and it will always be WoW. I know that's the thing. Final Fantasy, that game was broken, destroyed, and left for dead, and then they fixed it, and now it's probably number two, if not number one, during WoW downtime, honestly. So for them to go back to the drawing board and make a Star Wars MMO, two reasons they won't do it. One, they would have to shut down SWTOR and admit that SWTOR is either A, dated, or B, no longer relevant. And yeah. EA has pride issues when it comes to that stuff.
Right.
And B, the expense alone is just not something they're going to do. So I said this a long time ago on the show, but I stick with it, that some sort of multi-user GTA Red Dead Redemption style open world experience with lightsabers and smugglers and things like that, and maybe, you know, 50 people on a server or something, and you'll be able to join up. That is the future of a multiplayer, I don't want to say story-driven, but sandbox environment that you can play around in with your friends in the Star Wars universe. I don't think you will ever see an action MMO a la ESO or a traditional. You'll definitely not see a traditional click target.
No, people don't have time for that shit, man.
So
like, it's just like at the end of the day, they don't have time for it. And start, like, Red Dead did it well. I mean, you can say all you want about Cyberpunk, but at the end of the day, like, I think Cyberpunk, like, it was a pretty decent open world single player experience.
And we'll see what the multiplayer is.
Multiplayer looks like. But I mean, like, Red Dead Online, Grand Theft Auto Online, those are very successful games that have storytelling elements with inside of them.
Right.
So yeah, like that. Honestly, like I could see it happening for sure.
Yeah, I could see someone using, you know, the engine or the visual stylings of a game like Jedi Fallen Order and turning that into a sandbox PvE PvP experience in an open world, 50 people to a server or something, you know, with the ability to travel between planets. Maybe that's it too, like planets or different servers, things of that nature. So like Destiny set in Star Wars universe, I don't think it would be first person. I think it would be third person, because in games like that, you want to see the shit you got. Like, I want to look at myself and see how
Disney,
cool I look.
Star Wars has been very adamant about, like, the Star Wars IP has been very adamant about the user always seeing the thing. Like, Battlefront, they are very adamant about the person seeing the thing that they were looking at, whether it was a hero playing as a Jedi, or even just like looking at your stormtrooper and the way you customized it. That was very important. Like looking at Jedi Fallen Order, third person, like being able to see like the lightsaber and seeing it in its entirety and seeing the robes you're wearing and like all that stuff. Like those are identifications to the thing that you are interacting with. And that's what Star Wars prides itself on. So like, I really don't think we'll ever see a first person Star Wars game again,
unless it's a tactical shooter a la Republic Commando.
Yeah, or it's a VR game.
Yeah,
like that's also because it's VR. Yeah. But like in your traditional Xbox, PlayStation, PC gaming experience,
that game would be really sick, by the way.
I love the VR Star Wars games. They're super fun.
The Galaxy's Edge one made me sick.
That one's a little rough. The Vader Immortal one, I still think is like one of the best Star Wars games I've ever played. It was super fun, outside of Jedi Fallen Order. But anyways, your traditional gaming platforms, it's going to be third person gaming. The Amy Hennig Star Wars game, third person. The 1313 game was supposed to be third person. The Darth Maul game that got canned, that was supposed to be third person as well. Star Wars games traditionally, I mean, heck, even go back and look at some of the older games too. Third person games. That's just, I think it works really, really well for Star Wars, because again, you get to really just like, you get to soak it in. Like you don't need the immersion effect of like playing Tarkov, right? To feel like you're in there. Like when you are in a Star Wars game, you feel it because of the sounds and the look of things. And you're like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm on freaking Tatooine, dude, and I got a blue lightsaber and I hear it humming and it whooms when I swish it around and stuff. Like, you know that, and because you've watched the movies, you've lived through that, and so like that's the level of connection that they want. That's what I'm saying. Like, most of the Star Wars games are in third person. Dark Forces is a very, very old game. I'm talking about more up-to-date Star Wars games are normally in third person. I think outside of Dark Forces, like Battlefront originally was supposed to be only third person. And then when like the first person support stuff wasn't even supposed to be in there originally. That was something that the community fought really, really hard for. The sweaty first person shooter fans wanted a first person mode.
Where'd you pull that from, Pockets? According to Pockets, Lucasfilm announcement includes the verbiage, "So will the world of Lucasfilm games, developed in collaboration with the finest studios across the industry." I'm telling you, that EA deal changed.
Yeah, no, it definitely did. I'm very curious to see what changed.
And I want to know what that Xbox tweet meant. So I guess hopefully we have
I'm sure we'll learn more.
Yeah, information next week. The names of the eras, Tim, is the High Republic. And then the Fall of the Jedi is the Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Clone Wars, and Revenge of the Sith. The Reign of the Empire is the new Bad Batch show and Solo. The Age of the Rebellion is Rebels, Rogue One, A New Hope, Empire, and Return of the Jedi. The New Republic is the Mandalorian. The Rise of the First Order is Resistance. Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and The Rise of Skywalker.
They don't even recognize the Old Republic.
No, not
yet.
Well, they have. There's no official canon stories in it.
Right, but still, like, it's interesting that, like, they don't even, like, that's not even a recognized period.
They can't go back and do anything they haven't told a story in yet, and a lot of the stuff that existed is retconned by stuff that exists now.
Yep.
So they have to go back and tell a whole new story.
Right, and that's why I continue to think that we aren't going to see any Old Republic stuff for a while.
There is something in the first 10 minutes of Light of the Jedi that retcons an immense amount of shit in the Old Republic. An immense. In the first 10 minutes of the book, I immediately texted Tim and I was like, well, that's interesting. I don't want to say what it is because I don't want to. But it changes everything about Star Wars. It is so subtle and so quick, and it is just in passing, but it is so important to the Star Wars universe that it changes everything about the Old Republic. The games, everything. Everything would be completely on tilt if they tried to canonize anything that existed already. So it would have to be completely redone and rewritten from the bottom up. We have one Patreon question tonight.
All right. Thank you for being a patron, and thank you for asking a question.
So it's patreon.com/forever job. This comes from Steamboat, who's one of our shareholders.
Steamboat Willie.
This is Steamboat is no joke when it comes to Patreon. They're in it, dude, in it. And the shareholders get to have a call monthly with me, Ben, and Tim. So both of them will be on the call.
I will have my pants on, so don't worry.
He won't. Steamboat said, my plan was to finish the book before today, but then that thing called life happened. I hear you. So my question is, at whatever point you've made it to the book, which character are you most intrigued by and interested in learning more about? Mine is obviously Buriaga Agabari, because that's the best name ever. Yes, that is a great character name. I am completely, and I know this is so cliche at this point, but I need to understand and learn more because of her Force ability, because as we're learning in this book, everyone sees the Force differently, and everyone seems to have different strengths within the Force.
Mm-hmm.
And Avar Chris, I need to know more. I need to understand her history. I need to understand her abilities more. I am completely intrigued. I know that it's...
She's kind of a hippie, but...
Super hippie. Super. But her power's no joke.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she's pretty intense. I like Loden Greatstorm a lot.
Yes.
He's very cool.
Yes.
He's very cool. I like him a lot. So that's probably my favorite character so far.
But Avar Chris to me is just... I have so many questions.
Yeah, her interpretation of the Force is very interesting.
Even the way, if you're reading it, you're not getting this experience, but the way the audiobook interprets her when she's tapping into the Force, that's the best way I can put it. The way they do the sound effects in the background, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's just like so cool.
Yep.
It's so cool.
Yep.
Let me run through these questions real quick. Last chance to sneak some in if you have some for me and Tim. We're going to stay on topic tonight, so nothing from like Mandalorian or anything. What is your favorite era in Star Wars? Patrick asked. I don't think that's a fair question right now because the High Republic's just getting going.
Yep.
If you had to ask me from Legends, you already know the answer to that question. For the current era, I guess you'd call it now, it'll always remain original trilogy. Was that Age of the Rebellion?
Yes.
That'll always be the best stories. And part of it has to do with nostalgia, and the rest of it has to do with just, I don't know, beating up the bad guys. There is an element of sadness of everything that happens after Return of the Jedi. Because as a child, Return of the Jedi is such a happy moment for you. Like, they did it! They won! But everything turns to shit! And then they have a kid who becomes a Sith, and this is so sad, and she's gonna die! Like, then you go down that road, but it's more Star Wars, so. What is the relationship between Yoda and Grogu? Go back to the last episodes from last year. I need you to do your homework on that one. It's something about Anakin bringing balance to the Force. We've talked about that numerous times. Do you think we'll play as any character besides Cal in Fallen Order 2? No, I think all the Fallen Order games were Cal.
I mean, it's all about him.
I think it is Cal's story told end to end.
Yep.
And no offense, but I kind of hope he dies in the third one so you can all get fucked.
I mean, he kind of has to.
I want him to.
He kind of has to die.
From a storytelling perspective.
There's going to be some type of, like, very much, very cliche Jedi hero sacrifice moment.
Obi-Wan
just,
style.
Dude, either Obi-Wan style or Freddie Prinze Jr. style, or he just incinerates himself.
Dude,
so.
That... Kanan messed me up.
That was very sad. Yeah, Kanan...
That
Kanan,
never got, like, ruined for me.
Really?
No. Don't you remember my reaction?
I was so worried I was going to spoil that for you.
No one ever ruined Kanan for me. And it happened, and the credits roll with no music, and
yeah,
his face
was,
right
oh,
before it,
was
it happens...
So dark, dude.
I'm like, wait, Tim, he's dead? And you just said, mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I go, no, he's not coming back next episode? Like, something forced... You're like, he's gone, Kevin. And I'm like...
Dude's, he's mega dead, I think is what I said.
Yeah, and I was like, I need a glass of scotch in a moment, because I did not see that coming. That was a rough one.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that was an episode. So I see that's how Cal goes out.
Yeah, doing something crazy heroic. We talked about that. JJB wants to know if Tim would play a Jar Jar Binks game and says Misa thinks it would be so fun.
Move on.
And Chandler said...
Oh my gosh, you know what got ruined for me the other day that someone posted in my Facebook group? Speaking of Jar Jar freaking Binks, you ever looked... at a Republic cruiser, Kevin, during the Clone Wars, a Venator. You ever looked at a Venator before?
I'm sure I have. Why?
Have you noticed how when you look at a Venator from stern to, or from bow to stern, it kind of looks like a Gungan face?
Oh my gosh.
I never saw that until someone laid Jar Jar's face over a Venator.
Dude, chat has messed you up.
And it does, in fact, actually look like Jar Jar.
Messed you up.
Hold on. Here, I'm going to send you this picture and just tell me if it looks like Jar Jar being smiling at you. Because now, whenever I see a Venator flying in, that's all I'm going to think of is a Gungan head. It looks like Jar Jar smiling at you with lasers coming out of his face, doesn't it, Kevin?
I wish you never showed me that.
Right, dude? That's what I said when I saw it posted into my Facebook group. Anyways, I just had to share that with you. I wanted you to also be sad like me.
I am sad like you now.
Perfect.
Chandler said, out of the lightsabers that have been described so far in High Republic book, which one would you like to have? I got to see them and correlate them to the people.
They've never really, I mean, like, they've kind of talked about them, but I mean, like, we saw pictures of them. They're very medieval looking. They've got hand guards and, like, stuff on them. Like,
they have holsters,
very, like,
too.
Yeah, they have holsters that they sit in. Like, they're very much so, like, medieval, King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, like, style. Like, that's the vibe that I'm constantly getting from these Jedi is, like, this is your medieval night story, but told in a Star Wars way.
Paul asked, what book would you recommend someone start with and why? Go read Light of the Jedi right now.
Read the High Republic. Just the High Republic books right now. Don't worry about the other ones.
You can jump in with all of us now because it came out last Tuesday. It starts a whole new era of Star Wars, and you will be along for the ride with the rest of us. If we could get the Discord link in both Facebook and Twitch, join that Discord. That's the community Discord. Join the High Republic channel, and you can talk about High Republic with all of your friends forever and ever.
Yep.
Cool. That's it. That's Star Wars and Scotch episode 31 for this
31,
week.
31, Kevin. Look at us.
Look at us. Look at us.
Let's go.
Look at us. But thank you so much for hanging out with us. Thank you for being a part of the show. Thank you for being awesome. We appreciate you. We appreciate the patrons as well. Patreon.com/RareDrop. You can go to kingscoastcoffee.com and get that coffee. And you can check out this show. If you go to raredrop.co, click on podcasts and click on Star Wars and Scotch. Tons of episodes for you to go back and listen to. Mando Minutes for you to go back and see what Tim and I were impressed with and hated. And then soon the book club episodes will start rolling out on the feed as well. So go do that. Enjoy it. And I'm punching it to hyperspace.
Tim, punch it, Kevin.
Tim, why don't you leave everyone with the wisest words in a galaxy far, far away tonight?
And chat, may you always close your eyes and remember that Jar Jar Binks is not a Sith Lord. Good night.
He did. May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.